Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
At newstalk.com. Now, she sang her way into our hearts, and today, 10 years ago, the charismatic and rebellious Amy Winehouse died at just the age of 27, one of the most talented artists of her generation. In 2006, she came to Ireland to perform at the music series Other Voices. Her performance at a church in Dingle was voted one of the best on the show's history. Let's take a listen to her performing Tears Dry on Their Own.
And I'll play myself again. I should just be my own best friend. I fuck myself in the head with stupid man. He walks away, the sun goes down. He takes the day, but I am grown. And in your way, in this blue shade, my tears dry on their own. So we are history. Your shadow covers me. The sky above ablaze. He walks away. The sun goes down. He takes the day, but I am wrong. And in your way.
Oh, still, what a voice. Amy Winehouse performing Tears Dry on Their Own. Philip King, the founder of Other Voices, joins us to have his memories of meeting her. Philip, how are you today?
Hey, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm very well. That little clip there, every time I hear her voice, I'm bewitched by it. She is just the most incredible vocal talent, wasn't she?
It does it every single time. And the way she was exposed on the little stage in the Church of St. James on the Main Street in Dingle in County Kerry, she just had a bass player and a guitar player. Dale Davis playing the bass and the wonderful Robin Banerjee playing the guitar. No drummer. So it was just about the vocal. It was just about the voice. They were all playing free. But when the three of them played together, something truly magical happened. And she inhabited a song, I think, like nobody I have ever experienced before or since. She arrived in Dingle on a very dark, dank sort of December evening and really lit up our lives.
How did she come to be in Dingle? How did you manage to get her over there? Because she was just on the cusp, wasn't she, of huge stardom?
Well, I suppose we've been lucky from time to time with Other Voices, and our music producer, Aoife Woodlock, is a remarkable music producer. And we identified that, Amy was a remarkable talent. Chicks Chipperfield, who was running the Beatles archive, funnily enough, was living down here. And he had given me one of her records, Frank, I think it was, a couple of years earlier. And he was a jazzer. He used to work in various different places in London and Ronnie Scott's, etc. He was living here. And we sort of fell in love with her voice, just as you said. And one thing led to another. We went down the usual route, rang the agent, rang Ireland. And lo and behold, she said yes. She flew into Cork, got off the plane. Her driver approached her and said, is your mother with you? You know, she looked so, she was so young, just 22, and a very, very slight figure. She hopped off the bus outside Benner's Hotel. And I remember she was wearing little black pumps, no socks. It was freezing. You know, skin tight jeans, a little sort of bolero leather jacket, a torn t-shirt, and her Ronette beehive hairdo off to one side. She asked for a tube of Pringles and said, "Let's go do this thing."
What? Did you get to spend time with her? I mean, I'm intrigued to know what she was like as a person.
Yes, we did, and absolutely charming. Let me say this. She was entirely present. She was playful. She was passionate about music. She was so full of fun and had so much brio and energy about her. As you can see in that performance, which is going to be shown on BBC tonight at about 10:30, I believe. But she was playful in the way she just curtsied and whatever. But she sat down with John Kelly afterwards in a little room in Benner's and talked music. And here at 22, she already had absorbed so much music. She talked about Soweto Kinch. She talked about Dinah Washington. She talked about Sarah Vaughan. She talked about Ella Fitzgerald, Ray Charles, James Brown, with real, real authority.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you think about the songs like Love's a Losing Game, if you know what I mean, she wrote that song, but it sounded as if it had been there forever. She knew the tradition out of which she came.
Thousands of years.
Yeah, it was that East End Jewish thing. And, you know, she said when she was a kid, you know, when the oligarchs were in town, they would send for her to come around and sing some jazz standards at the piano. She played with the British Youth Jazz Orchestra. Yeah. I mean, she really could do anything. I mean, she was a consummate musician, full of passion and full of promise.
And then that moment when she goes to the stage and she takes the microphone, and you're in very close proximity in this fantastic venue in a fantastic part of the world. What was that like? What was it like to experience that voice in that room?
Well, it was just unbelievable. You know, you hear something on a record, and of course, these days we're also bereft of the live performance. And this actually would, you know, tell you why the live performance is so important. It's physical. It's tactile. You're in close proximity to it. I mean, this was still a time before, you know, let's call it digital loneliness had taken over our lives. And here was this slip of a thing in full form, standing on a stage in front of 80 people, many of whom had never heard, not just of Amy Winehouse, but didn't know who she was, and stood there with these two out-of-the-box brilliant musicians.
Yeah.
And sang those six or seven songs. And, you know, you'd have to have a heart of stone, really. But of course, the thing about all of the songs is that they were delivered with such panache, beauty and passion, but they were also shot through with sadness and longing. And her performance, like all great performers, she was vulnerable. You could sense the vulnerability, which of course is what made her so absolutely magnetically attractive. She had authority. She understood the grammar. She was humble. She was humble also because she loved the music and was enthralled to it. So that mixture together with her God-given talent, I think better than anybody I've ever heard, plus the musicians, all of the spirits collided and seemed to coagulate together to enable us to drive the cold out of the night and see somebody like play with such just magnificent passion.
You've seen many talents down the years, so when you're seeing her, I listen to her and I just wonder, where did it come from? Because I don't know if you saw in the film, there's her singing Happy Birthday to somebody when she's 13 or 14.
Yeah.
And even then, there's something going on. Have you any idea, where does a talent like that, are you born with that?
I guess you are born with it, but it was also nurtured, I think, in her own household and in the sort of musicians that she met. I could draw sort of a parallel, if you like, between, you know, if I sit in a room down in West Kerry with, you know, Seamus Beg or one of those remarkable what I would call Shandell singers, right? And to answer your question, she was like that.
Right.
She had it. It was in her blood. It was passed on through the DNA.
Mm.
And I would say, like my Shandell singer, she didn't sing the song. The songs sang her.
Yeah. It's what Sinead O'Connor says, isn't it? It's like they come down through her. That's when she used to describe herself as a priest, that she felt she was just communicating these things with an audience, and her biggest responsibility was not to mess it up and to sing it as brilliantly as possible. It's such a sad that she has gone from us, that she was only 27, and who knows, if she was still alive, what she would have sang, what brilliant records of hers we'd be able to listen to now.
Oh, I think there's no doubt we would be listening to them. She would be making them. And had she made her way through, let's call it the obstacle course of the music business, and I mean obstacle course with all that that entails, and in this modern world of, you know, being digitally available 24/7, I think her voice would have been a breath of fresh air. She had tradition. She transmitted that tradition. She translated that tradition. She made it entirely her own. She was a real flesh and blood human being and an astounding artist. I think, you know, when we look back at the history of jazz and jazz singers and we talk about Bessie Smith, and we talk about the vulnerable.
Yeah.
And she had all of that in spades, and she carried for us, I think.
Yeah.
You know, what great artists do.
Absolutely.
They carry for us.
Yeah,
the
absolutely.
Things we can't carry for ourselves, and they give us solace and succor and uplift.
Yeah.
And real, real inspiration. She was just
a generational talent. I think there's no question about it. Philip, you have a new show yourself tomorrow night, The Heart of Saturday Night, starting on RT1.
That's right, with the nod to Tom Waits, The Heart of Saturday Night.
Good.
And, you know, it's I guess we're just so delighted to have been able to do it. And you know, when we set out to start The Other Voice, I think somebody said, "What is it that you do?" And one of our team said, "We celebrate what's about to happen and we capture what's about to disappear."
Very
and nice. this show on Saturday night, The Heart of Saturday Night, was filmed very, very quickly over 6 nights a couple of weeks ago.
Very
good. In the round room of the Mansion House.
It goes to where yes.
Yeah,
beautiful. I've seen clips. It looks absolutely amazing. Phil, the very best of that. We'll be tuning into it tomorrow night. And again, thanks very much for joining us today and help us remember the incredible talent that was Amy. We'll be talking about the world's oldest computer after a quick break.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.